Have you ever noticed how brilliant the Macintosh advertising section is? The marketers for Macintosh are just absolutely genius. I mean, everything is either an iPod, an iMac, it's iTunes, iLike. It's all focused around I. And it really appeals to our narcissistic culture, which has focused entirely on self. Sad, but true. The quality of a situation is determined by how it reflects and impacts self in our world today. And unfortunately, this ideology threatens our Christian walk. Because we have not been called to self. We've been called to service. But even sometimes in our service and the works that we do, even for one another, there is a danger of letting ourself and our own motivations get in the way. That's why this evening I want to talk to you about taking the I out of service. Now, I understand that that would make it spelled incorrectly. But this is not about a spelling test. This is about examining our own characters and making sure that we are following in the example of Christ and following in Jesus' example of servitude. An awesome example which was given to us in John chapter 13, which we will conclude with this evening, in which Jesus says, This example I have given to you, that you do for one another as I have done to you. I have three main points this evening. In taking the I out of service, we need to find the I in humility. In taking the I out of service, we need to find the I in self-sacrifice. In taking the I out of service, we need to rather focus on I serve. Finding the I in humility. Any of the students in the high school class will tell you that I cannot spell to save my life. And at this point, one of them might just very well say, Josh, there are two I's in humility. Once again, this is not about a spelling test. This is not about the assessment of your ability to spell. It's about the assessment of your character and whether or not you are following in the example of Jesus' servitude. To do that, turn to Philippians chapter 2, the greatest and most concise example of Jesus' humility, an example we need to take. Humility, defined by this very section, is the strength to surrender self. Humility is not the nature of being low and feeble. It is the demeanor of being low and feeble. It takes a great power of character and a great strength to humbly surrender self to the greatest degree. In this example, Christ is great. Getting ahead of myself. Philippians chapter 2. I'm sure many of you are already turned there, but if you are not, turn there now. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Jesus surrendered himself. In this passage, Jesus defines humility for us. Because really, humility is making ourselves low. And the question for this passage is, how low did Jesus stoop? How low did he go? It talks about in the beginning about his glory. That he had the form of God. That he existed in that kind of glory. But he didn't hold on to that. What he held on to was you and me. And he threw that away. He put aside his glory so that he could take on the form of a servant and stoop down to our level. How low did he stoop? It says that he humbled himself to the point of death, even the death on a cross. And there's an important cultural thing about that. The cross was only a slave's death. Roman citizens were free from public humiliation and cruel death. But a slave could die that way. And a slave was viewed as nothing more than barely human. And what it meant to die on a cross was to die the death of a slave. How low did Jesus stoop? He stooped low enough for you and me. He became a servant. This is his example in servitude. That he would die for you and me. Humility is the strength to surrender self. Humility is also the strength to subject self for the service of others. Humility is not the nature of being low and feeble. It is the demeanor of being low and feeble for the sake of raising and strengthening someone else. It takes great power of character and a great strength to humbly surrender yourself for someone else to the greatest degree. In this example, Christ was great. What did Jesus have to gain when he died on a cross? Was it for himself that he died? Or was it for you? And was it for me? He sacrificed himself for the purpose of someone else. We asked of this passage, how low did he stoop? Submit to you that he stooped low enough to reach into the depths of hell for you and me. Because that's where we were. That's all that we had to call our own. And that is how low Jesus stooped. That's how low he humbled himself, and that is why he humbled himself, was to save you and me. He didn't have his own interest in mind. He was doing the will of his Father, and he was loving you and me. Humility is the strength to subject self for the service of others. Humility is the strength to wait upon reward from the Lord. One part of this passage that we didn't read. Beginning again in verse 3, we're going to read all the way through verse 11. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth.
And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
In seeking self, we seek to promote ourselves. But in humility, in Jesus' example in humility, He did not exalt Himself. He waited on the glory of the Lord. And it was because of His humility that God exalted Him. Humility is the patience and the strength to wait upon the reward from the Lord, and rather than seeking your own. This is Jesus' example in humility. And this is an example that we need to follow in our service today. Putting ourselves aside and humbling ourselves because Jesus humbled Himself for us. Not only must we find the eye in humility, and that is find in our personal character humility, we must also find the eye in self-sacrifice. Once again, there are three eyes in self-sacrifice. No, there's not. There's only two. This is not about spelling. This is about the assessment. This is not the assessment of spelling. This is the assessment of our characters and whether or not we are following in the example of the servitude of Christ. And that's something we need to assess. Finding the eye in self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 are going to be our text for this particular point. Defined by this passage, self-sacrifice is perfected in love. For which it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up. You will hold on to that which you love. You will hold on to it and you will not let go. Since Ephesians 5 tells us about Christ's love, Christ didn't love Himself. He loved us. And He will hold to us and He will not let go. Because He loved us. But it was in that He loved us that it says that He gave Himself up. This is the same word which is used later in the chapter in Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Do you know that this same word is the word for betrayed? So when talking about Judas' betrayal, this is the exact word that would be used. Christ betrayed Himself for us. He sacrificed Himself for us. This is our example in self-sacrifice. Bring this into a small but difficult application. Husbands, do you love your wives? Do you love your wives with self-sacrifice? Or are you still seeking your own in the things that you do? Wives, do you love your husbands with self-sacrifice? Or are you seeking your own and what you get out of the relationship? This is the example that Christ gave us. He gave Himself up completely and entirely so that He could love and save and be married to His bride, the church. And what a wonderful example that is. And something that we need to assess in ourselves. This is love, self-sacrifice. And so He says in Ephesians chapter 5, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. Self-sacrifice is pointed towards others. Once again, the very nature of self-sacrifice removes the benefit from self and puts it on someone else. Which is why it says, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. You and me. This was the reason Christ gave himself. What did he have to gain? Really, what did he have to gain by coming to this earth? Pain? Suffering? Loneliness? Anguish? Disdain? Sounds like great motivation to me. We read this morning in Isaiah 53. Turn back to Isaiah 53 and we'll find out exactly what Jesus had to gain by his self-sacrifice. Isaiah 53 and beginning in verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. And we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell on him, and by his scourgings we are healed. Being despised, sorrows, griefs, chastenings, piercings. This is what he had to gain. This is what he had to call his own on this earth. That no one regarded him as they ought. And no one quite understood exactly who he was. That he gave up that glory that we talked about in Philippians chapter 2. He gave that up for us. And that is important to recognize in our need to be self-sacrificing. Because it can't be about us. There are people in this world who need the sacrifice, who are dying. And we cannot help them if we are serving ourselves. We will get in our own way. Sacrifice is pointing towards others. And the last thing about this passage is that sacrifice is pleasing to God. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning again in verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God, just as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Paul is borrowing imagery here. He's borrowing language from an Old Testament sacrifice. Turn to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29 and beginning in verse 15. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall slaughter the ram, and shall take its blood, and sprinkle it around the altar. Then you shall cut the ram into pieces, and wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and its head. You shall offer it up with smoke, the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Now, had I not read the end of verse 18, this is a pretty ugly image. They are dismembering And dealing with the pieces of a ram, including its entrails, which they have to wash, it's not a pretty picture. Not exactly something that I'd want to do on a daily basis. But that's just it. Self-sacrifice doesn't have to be pretty. In fact, in order to serve and deal with people whose lives are covered in filth, we have to be willing to get dirty. We'll talk about that a little more in our last passage. But self-sacrifice doesn't have to be pretty. But self-sacrifice is pleasing to God, just as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, that when he offered himself, it was a soothing aroma to God. It pleases him. And if nothing else, that should be motivation enough for us. It's pleasing to God. Short and simple. But to our last point. We have found the I in humility, both of them. We've found the I in self-sacrifice, both of them. That is, we have examined humility and we have examined self-sacrifice and our need to do so. So by the time you put I back in service, it needs to look like I serve. Now I understand. I serve is a complete sentence. This is not punctuated correctly. This is not an assessment of your ability to spell or grammar. This is an assessment of our characters and whether or not we are following in the example of the servitude of Christ. Turn to John chapter 13. This is a passage that we mentioned at the beginning, John 13, 15. This example I gave to you that you should do for one another as I have done unto you. What's the context of John 13? John 13 is talking about Jesus as he's washing his disciples' feet. Brittany McCowan, she is not here. It's very unfortunate that she's very ill. And I'd ask that you pray for her. She recently posted on Facebook a list of quirks about herself. She said, I can't stand feet. Most people can't. They don't like feet. Feet are disgusting. They're dirty. They smell. Even more so for these disciples who are walking around not wearing shoes. Who knows what they're walking through? But that's just it. That was a sign of hospitality then, to wash one another's feet because they were dirty. Seems like a pretty petty need for Jesus to be filling. But he shows us something far more than just about washing feet. He shows us an example of servitude. From this passage, service begins with the heart of a servant. Thus far, we've been talking about humility. We've been talking about self-sacrifice. I posit to you this morning, Jesus had to be garbed in humility and self-sacrifice before he could ever put on that cloth to wash his disciples' feet. Let's read the passage. John 13, beginning in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, coming up from supper, he laid aside his garment, taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do not wash my feet. Maybe he thought feet were disgusting too. Jesus answered and said to him, What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to me, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but it's completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you.
For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Service begins with the heart of a servant. Which sounds a little redundant, doesn't it? You can't serve until you're a servant. We've been talking about humility and self-sacrifice only because they are foundational to us following in the example of Jesus' servitude. If we cannot take in ourselves humility and self-sacrifice, we will never be effective in this kingdom. It's a hard thing to say. But we have to humble ourselves just as Christ also did. We are Christians. We follow after Christ. And he gave us this great example when he took on the heart of a servant and he washed his disciples' feet. Service continues with opportunity. Jesus had a room with disciples full of dirty feet. What opportunity do you have? Do you have a workplace filled with souls that are filthy and dirty? Have you washed their feet? Do you have a baby with a dirty diaper? Do you have a friend with a dirty mind? A brief look around will reveal all the opportunities that you've been given. And if you cannot see them readily, pray, and I guarantee you the Lord will give you opportunity to serve. There are people of great need in this world. There are people whose souls are festering in the filth of sin. They have nothing to call their own but death, destruction, and dismay. Just as Jesus Christ died to reach for us out of the depths of hell, he's reaching for them also. And we have a part in that. We have a part in the service of this world. To serve God and serve our fellow man. Share the gospel. Wash each other's feet. Clean the things which need cleaning. It's going to require humility and it's going to require self-sacrifice, but it's going to be worth everything. For a soul to be saved. Up until this point, we've been talking about the easy stuff. Service endures through difficulty. The core message of John chapter 13 is not that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, but that Jesus washed the feet of Judas. For which he says, "Not all of you are clean," but he washed all of their feet. He knew who was betraying him, and he still served him. That's where this lesson gets difficult. And that's where all of your self-sacrifice is going to be needed. That's where all of your humility is going to have to cause you to bend. When it gets hard, when your service is thrown in your face, when it just seems as if people don't care, when they will betray you for 30 pieces of silver.
wash their feet. Serve them also and continue and endure. Service endures through difficulty. This is the example that Jesus Christ gave to us to serve one another. If we are truly going to be Christians, we have to follow in the example of Christ. Follow in the example of His humility. Follow in the example of His self-sacrifice. Follow in the example of His servitude. Be a Christian. Follow Christ. Of all the things that we've talked about this evening, we've talked about what Jesus did for us, the impact that it's had on the lives of every Christian since, that He has served, that He has saved. For all the filth that was in us, He cleansed us also. He lived, and He died so that we can live. He served so that we could be saved. There is also an opportunity tonight. If you have up until now forsaken that, if you have forsaken and cast Jesus' service in His face and continued in some deep and depraved sin, I pray you repent. Or even if you've never been washed, Jesus says, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Let Jesus cleanse you today. Let Jesus wash your feet. Let Jesus wash your soul. And in the fact that He died for you, start living for Him. The opportunity is yours as we stand and we sing this song.